John Norsterkenius. Did you want to come join our cult?
Oh, wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! Let's look into our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls?
Our crystal balls.
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
I was on a postage stamp.
Make it rain salty licorice.
We can make our own grapefruit video.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 155 of Three in the Box, the Underground Wild Podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, February 12th. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about broken hands, losing to losers, and more Minnesotans. Why not?
Yeah.
In the studio with me, as always, you just heard him, Mr. Kenny.
What up?
And across from me, Mr. Jive.
Good evening, folks.
So, how was you guys' week?
Well, I mean, you know, I think I've seen you almost every day in a row since the last show.
It's been real.
It has been. it was a good week. Lots of birthday dinners.
Yeah. Lots of drinking.
Lots of drinking. Lots of some wild games and some concerts and.
Yeah. And drinking and
drinking
Sambuca. Yeah. We got to see the birth of the bucatini at our local haunt.
The birth.
Yeah. The birth of the bucatini.
Yes.
How about yourself, Jeff? You got some big news, I hear.
Yeah, a little bit of news.
Yeah.
Today I became a grandfather again.
Congratulations, yeah, man.
This time it's a grandson.
So now you got the... A granddaughter and a grandson.
Yep. And a little pop trivia for you. So, you know, me and Zach, we were chatting last night. And he's like, okay, so I'll have a niece and a nephew. Okay, so he's got that. So he's like, what do you call them both together?
Ooh.
Niece few.
Not quite. Any other guesses?
No, I don't. I honestly don't know.
A nibbling.
Really?
Hmm.
Yes.
T-I-L, man.
We laughed at that.
So you say cannibals? So you call them my nibblings?
Yeah, my nibblings.
So, well, it wouldn't be your nibblings. It'd be your grandchildren.
They are my grandchildren. But they're his nibblings.
I you know what? I've got six nibblings. I'm totally gonna remember this next holiday. Like, yeah. I need a picture with my nibblings.
So what do you call aunts and uncles together?
I don't know.
Nuncles, as Derek Felsis said in chat.
Nuncles.
Nyuk, 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 nyuk. Is that like a...
No, that's knuckles. That's what your uncles give to you.
Right.
I thought it was, pull my finger.
Or that one.
I was proud that I thought I was teaching them. Does it smell like popcorn after you let one fly? Or do you smell popcorn? And my nephew already knew it.
Oh, that's good.
So,
what do you think? Should we get into that wild week?
We got a lot to talk about here. All right, so
let's do it.
Yeah.
So, the wild week was a wild week. The Wild rebounded back from last week's end of the week debacle, but so they did. They came back in against the Blues. And they really, handled the Blues pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, the final score was 6-2, but I think at one point it was 6-0. Yeah.
If I remember. It was 6-1.
6-1.
Because they scored the first goal.
That's right. There we go.
And then it was
they scored early on.
Yeah.
Because we were watching the game. I was like, oh, great.
It's going to be the way it goes, huh? Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but yeah, six goals by six different Wild players. You got Nino, Foligno, Koivu, Zucker, Dumba, and Stahl all jumping in on the action.
Any of them were empty netters, were they?
Where was Sleepy, Dopey, and Snoozy?
Right.
Or Doc.
Well, sleepy.
Doc wasn't there. That, it was on NBC, and Doc was not there.
True, he was not there.
All right. Four of the players did have multi-point games with Granny, Koivu, Stahl, and Zucker. And I mean, those six goals, they were managed with, you know, just 20 shots on net. So, I mean, I guess we can't complain. A fairly good showing. The Wild find the way to get the puck into the net. So that's positive. But then they follow it up with an overtime loss against the lowly Coyotes.
Another game where it looked like they were going to be dominating,
yeah,
too.
They had it in hand, and then they, let the Coyotes sneak back in there. Dubnyk faced 40 shots that game. So, they still come away with a point there. So, I guess not optimal, but at least you get one out of there.
I mean, you do miss, I mean, me and Kenny were at the game, and you miss a little when you're live because you only see what you're seeing. You don't get to see the replays and all that.
Yeah.
And plus, you've been drinking heavily, you know, as as it is. But it was pretty apparent in the end of that game that they were just turtling, you know, the second half of that game. It was pretty obvious.
That was
bad. You know, the crowd was more into the guy running around ripping T-shirts off and throwing them in the crowd and him starting the wave than they were the actual game.
Which we denied doing the wave.
Yes, we will not stand
for the wave.
And ripping our T-shirts off.
And then the last game of the week on Saturday. Mondays are all getting mixed together now. I don't even know anymore. They come out with the win, though. They shut out the Blackhawks. Dubnyk, he's the one who gets the shutout. But again, I mean, he faces 44 shots on net that game. But he came up huge, you know. We got two goals from Charlie. Mr. Coyle. And then, you know, there's a, you know, this is kind of a franchise record here, a 12 game point streak. So
at home,
but that only qualifies at home.
You're right.
Yeah. Right. On the road, we have just completely stunk it up really this year.
Well, and actually, if you look at since we flipped over to 2018, they're 3-3 on the road, so they're at least recovering.
Yes, they're 500. Yeah, okay, right.
I mean, considering where they were the first part of the year, where they were solidly below 500.
That's an improvement.
Right.
And then in case any of you didn't catch it or notice it, we had a three-in-the-box situation in the Blackhawks game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that said, even with three in the box, the Wild still maintained that shutout, right?
And it was three in the box, and we were down 5-3.
Yep.
It was a double short-handed, you know, deal. The fact that we got away with nothing on that was pretty amazing.
I call it a win-win.
Yeah.
Always, right?
For the home viewers, it's the first three in the box, I think, in
2 years?
We would have been two seasons ago, would have been the last one.
Yeah.
So it's quite some time.
Yes. So you're saying we need that more often?
Well, we won, so it's hard to argue with it.
It is. All right. And so speaking of that, I mean, we did win. We had a winning week. I mean, we walk away with 5 out of 6 points. So, you know, there's been highs and lows in the middle with the Minnesota Wild this year. It's, you know, really, I guess, keeping things interesting, but, you know, the Wild, they're still flirting with the wild card spot there for the playoffs. So if we can manage to, you know, stay healthy, you know, do you guys expect that, you know, once we get there that we have enough?
Well, we got two obstacles right now.
Or that we have enough to get there.
I think that may be the bigger question, right?
Yeah. First one is, it is still very tight. In fact, even our division itself is still very close enough in points with how many games are left. Second, I think like we were talking about last week, that last month is essentially all divisional opponents, and it's going to be a battle. Every game it's gonna be ugly. Third, even if we do make it and we're sitting in a wild card spot, we're gonna be playing on the road every game, and obviously our road record has not been that good.
Road hasn't been good to us, no.
Nope.
But I mean, and you, so yeah, I agree with those points. But you also look at, you know, really, I mean, if we even look at the top of the entire league right now, I believe it's the Lightning sitting up on top. I think we're only like 13 points behind them,
right?
The top in the division. And yes, we're battling for a wild card spot, but does that mean that we're a wild card team or we're a playoff team in a tough division?
Well, it may be a little bit of both. I mean, we're definitely a playoff team at home. Yeah. We just haven't shown that we're a playoff team on the road consistently. Like I said, 2018 is going all right so far, but we need to get a little bit further than six games in on the road to know whether or not they've turned the corner there. You know, I think this team is probably capable of it. You know, whether or not they can make it a deep run, I think is a bigger question, especially with some of the injuries we've had and, you know, how things shake out there.
Yeah. So, and that kind of brings me to my next question, you know, once, you know, if we are able to, you know, make it to the playoffs, once you're in there, I mean, it's essentially, you know, a new season, right? You know, do you think maybe we're being a little bit too harsh on, you know, how the Wild have played to this point in the season? They've battled some injuries and things like that with, you know, key players. I mean, Spurgeon spent time out. Nino's been out. They missed Parisi for the whole first half of the season.
Right.
Almost, yeah. I mean, 39 games, I think.
Yeah, it was a long time, yeah.
So, I mean, they've definitely had to deal with their share of, you know, I don't know, detrimental injuries to key players, right? So, you know, that said, I mean, at that point in the season, do you see, like, maybe a chance for some sort of a miracle on ice or something? And, you know, the Wild pull one off, start winning on the road, and
40 shots and 44 shots, 84 shots in two games against. I mean, obviously we need to do something with our defense to help that out.
Mm-hmm.
As far as pulling a miracle out, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if Dubnyk stays the way he is, I mean, he's going to be the backbone of this team to keep him in playing games. And I think it's going to be a matter of, is he having a good game or is he having a bad game?
Well, I think down the stretch here and into the in the playoffs, assuming those are in the cards, you know, this is essentially the same team, you know, less Halla, that went to the playoffs last year and led the league. So I think that while this team is capable of it, they just need to show it consistently. And up to this point, there's been enough, depending on the week, there's been enough things wrong with them where, you know, it's like this week it's something else, next week it's going to be something different. You know, and don't get me wrong, they had 5 points on three games, so it's tough to make too much of a big deal about it because they're winning.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a little hypocritical to say that's a problem. But there are some things where you go, they need to shore this up because, you know, giving up 40 shots in the playoffs is usually not a recipe for a winning squad.
No, definitely not.
And so, yeah, both of you guys, you know, made mention to the number of shots that the Wild, you know, goaltenders have basically had to fend off the last few games. And you think, you know, maybe they're simply kind of pushing more offensively or something like that. But, I mean, even their shots on goal totals, I mean, they struggled themselves at times to get even more than, like, 20 shots on goal. I mean,
yeah,
there was a couple of times this week where, you know, they were right around the 20 yeah. shot marker.
Yeah, but when you score six goals on 20 shots, who cares it, how many shots it, you take?
It is. It's hard to argue. So, and, you know, maybe, you know, if you jump out to some sort of a lead, you know, maybe that's part of the reason, too, for the lower.
Yeah. Like the St. Louis game, I think they had something like three shots on goal in the last period. Yeah. So it was obvious at that point they were just trying to keep this game and get the game done with. They weren't really pressing. So it's hard to put too much thought into that, but...
Yeah. So with all that said, you know, are the Wild, you know, getting a little too loose in their own end, though? Like even, you know, when you get ahead and then... We saw something that happened like against Arizona, right?
Right.
You know, we get a lead. We sit there. We try to, I don't know what you call it, if you call it protecting it, because it's not when you're, you know, letting stuff by, but, you know, you kind of let your guard down, stop pushing offensively. I mean, you know, do you guys have any thoughts on that? Like, is that detrimental to the team? Is that being a little bit too loose?
Well, I think it's been a problem for the Wild for a long time where they just try to, they end up turtling. And the thing is you can only play with defense only mindset for so long because you need all players engaged, and not every player is a defensive player.
Right.
And counting on the non-defensive players to operate defensively for a full 20 minutes is a tough call. You need to at least be pressing them, even if you've got a healthy lead.
Yep.
And it's pretty obvious that the Wild aren't doing that right now.
Yep.
Hopefully they can figure things out and tighten that up a little bit, because, like I said, you know, 40 shots a game against, is that's not going to be a good thing come playoff time.
Mm-hmm. And I guess from my opinion, that I think that, you know, like you said, sitting back and playing that defensive game is one thing, but yeah, not all players are the defensive players. And, you know, what got you to that point to have that lead? You know, why not continue to keep your foot on the gas and keep pressing and build on it?
Right.
What is, you know, that's not going to hurt you to build on it anymore, is it? Right.
I mean, I think Arizona is just kind of in a spot right now where, I mean, they had won very few games, especially very few road games, and I think they were just kind of out for blood.
Yep.
You know, you get a team that's at the bottom, and they're going to win at some point.
They're going to get scrappy, yep. So, well, and, you know, do you think that the goaltending, I mean, you mentioned it that, you know, that's not going to fly in the playoffs, Aaron, but, you know, do you think the goaltending can continue to, you know, keep us in the games if we get that many shots on net?
I know people have been critical about of Dubnyk's play, but I think this week has shown that he's more than capable. And I think Stalock is more than capable as well. I think we've got a good pair.
Good set of goalies,
A good set of goalies. So, you know, as long as they can stay healthy, I think that's a big thing. I think defensively is where we've had our lapses. Because you don't get that many shots on goal if your defensemen are playing their game the way they should be.
Right.
Because those shots shouldn't even be shots, then. They should be intercepted. They should be, you know, steals. They should be takeaways, you know, block shots even. But we haven't been doing that, so that's a problem.
Yep.
Speaking of defensemen.
Yes.
Speaking of defensemen.
So our defenseman with the highest plus rating right now went out after Tuesday's game. That'd be Jonas Brodin. He's out 3 to 4 weeks with a fractured left hand. Just had surgery on Wednesday, I believe. So not good, especially from losing one of our top four blue liners. Not going to help our defense at all.
No.
With that, Eden Prairie native Nick Seeler got called up to potentially make, and it sounds like he will be making it from some newer stuff that came out since we were going through this, make his NHL debut tomorrow night against the Rangers. He'd be the ninth Minnesotan native to make his NHL debut this year, second for the Wild following Justin Kloos. I think, Aaron, you said we had, what, 8 or 9 native Minnesotans on our roster at one point?
I think
or that have skated with the Wild this year?
I think we've had 8, yes.
So, with Seeler coming up, Brodin being out, it did sound like Seeler was going to be playing on the third pairing with Prosser. Where does this leave Riley or Olofsson right now?
Well, you know, I look at Olofsson and these last three games this week, he's scored a point in every one of them. And maybe that's mostly because of increased ice time. But then it's the first time in his career he's strung together 3 games in a row with points. I think he's stepping up in Brodin's absence. And I think Riley has too, because Riley's had a few points this week as well. I guess I'm not as convinced since this is just a debut. I have a tough time unless he just totally blows him away that he's going to unseat either Riley or Olofsson. That being said, all it's going to take is a patch where the Wild are losing or those two are struggling, and he's going to get plenty of opportunities in those cases.
And we've seen him with both of them.
Oh, sure.
All
yeah.
season long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think either of them are going to be on the block before February 26th, the trade deadline, the Riley or Olofsson, or is it?
Nah, they're both cheap, so why would you deal cheap for? I mean, in the Wild.
If we move anything, it needs to be to make some space.
Yeah. Or to pick up other young players. You don't. And I would have a hard time seeing trading Riley or Olofsson for other younger guys.
Yeah, we've already lost, you know, quite a bit of younger talent.
Right.
In the recent years, the expansion draft and other moves. But
well, and I know also this week the Wild did move Lucia and Burchie,
yep.
which actually did free up one roster spot now.
Right.
So they now have an extra roster spot for whatever. It doesn't really do anything with cap space.
Nope.
Necessarily, but it does open up that additional roster spot for whoever or another potential move.
For Trader Chuck.
Yeah. Trader Chuck.
Yeah.
I thought it was $2 Chuck at Trader Joe's.
Maybe we can call him that.
$2 Chuck.
$2 Chuck. Well, that's about what he's got left to spend.
Yep.
Well, maybe we just call him $1 Chuck.
So, like I mentioned, while they're playing the Rangers tomorrow night, Thursday night, we have the Capitals here. And then Saturday, Anaheim, and that'll end the 5-game homestands. That's actually an early game. That's a 1 o'clock game. And then Monday, Martin Luther King Day, the Wild start a short East Coast stint against the Islanders, and that's actually a noon game.
So set your fantasy lineups early, folks.
Yes, absolutely.
So really, sounds like we got a pretty easy week then, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, Rangers, Capitals, Ducks, Islanders, no problem.
Easy peasy.
Well, it could be worse. I mean, at least 3 of those are home games, one of them against the Rangers, and the Rangers are suffering. As I know, Kenny, you and I were discussing earlier today.
Yeah, the president and the GM basically put a no holds bar, you know, hiding nothing note out on Twitter saying, yeah, we want to get a winning team back, so don't be surprised if new faces come in and some familiar faces are gone by the trade deadline.
Right.
That's paraphrasing.
No pressure.
What they said. So, although.
And they're dressing guys like McBackup.
Yes, their backup goalie is McBackup. We're in 69.
Yeah.
However, it was also mentioned that the fact that all these guys now know that they are potentially on the chopping block, they're all going to be playing that much harder to try to retain that position.
Right.
It's all business, so across the entire league, you know. Everybody's on the chopping block.
Yeah, well,
really.
Not really, but everyone without a NMC is on the chopping block.
And there's been a few players that have handed in their, you know, dozen teams that they're willing to be traded to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, it's not the NMC doesn't necessarily mean anything with some of the players.
Well, if it's full, yes, it does.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah.
So yeah, that's what we have coming up: Rangers, Caps, Ducks, and then on the road against the Islanders.
So yeah, last week I think both you called the 5-point week. Actually,
I think both of us missed the team.
Yeah, both of you missed the team that was going to be
We thought the Blackhawks were going to be the problem, right?
I thought you had said.
Well,
St. Louis.
We know that neither of you said Coyotes were going to be the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Coyotes were going to be the problem, said no one ever.
Except for the Wild this week, apparently.
Right. And the Blackhawks tonight.
Yeah, so. So, yeah.
So, points?
Thoughts on the week? I'm going to stick with my formula here. I'm going to go 6 points. With a road loss against the Islanders.
Okay. Judge?
6 points, so 3 wins at home, huh?
Why not?
Why not?
Make that a 15-game point streak.
Okay. I'm going to go with five points again. You know, one of those teams is bound to give us some trouble here at home. I don't know that the Islanders are, you know, how well they'll be performing at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Which, if that's actually right, that means that game's at 11 a.m. on Monday morning in New York.
No.
No, 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Time zones, how do they work?
Yeah, I was having that issue earlier today.
That's true.
Don't ask me about time zones today. Just don't. It's
check
bad.
With Google.
I did.
That was the problem. He was. What are you thinking, Kenny?
I'm gonna go 6 points as well, but I'm predicting an overtime loss and a shootout loss. Two wins, an OTL, and a shootout loss.
So two OTLs.
Two OTLs, essentially,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, got it.
So, however, I if Ovechkin gets in his office on Thursday, they're just
going
to
he always does against the Wild.
Yeah, but yeah. At home.
He camps out on that, like, just inner part of the top circle. Hey, pass me the puck.
But, you know what? We're going to be at home. I think that one's going to go to overtime, and I think Islanders are going to go to the shootout, if I want to get specific.
All right.
Wins against the Rangers and the Ducks.
All right. Well, I think we're into Twitter talk now.
We got a lot.
All right.
We got a lot. First question, and this is a little bit of a holdover. I think he sent this in during the episode last week, but I'm going to give it to him. From Ben Mitchum, at Ben Mitchum. Why do you think the Wild find themselves panicking on PKs on the road compared to when they are at home? They fold like a tent.
My tents don't always fold that nicely.
Well,
they never go back into the bag, you know, that's the way that, you know, like
that's
when
really
they first came.
It really, really is. It really is a bad analogy, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 I don't know if I've got a better one.
I don't know that I do either.
But, you know, I don't know about the PK panicking. I guess
We've had some struggles lately with the penalty kill.
But I feel like we're at least, like, middle of the pack-ish. And I guess I don't feel too bad about the PK. I don't think it's Brodziak era as good as that, which pains me to say, but I don't think it's as good as it was back then. But I don't think it's that bad
compared to how they started the season off. That's I guess probably the frustrating part to me, because you know that the PK can perform, but there's, you know, definitely been some, I guess, you know, room for improvement as of late.
Well, at the beginning of the season, they were also getting a lot of practice because they were taking 6-7 penalties a game, too.
That's very true.
And I think they've been a little bit better
says the man after the game
with three in the box. Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Okay.
But I think they've been a little bit more disciplined.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. How can we rag on the PK when they survive that? I mean, I know the Blackhawks aren't what they once were, but any team on the power play.
So, not to interrupt us, but going back to the Ovechkin Capitals game, I was just curious about Ovechkin, and he does always seem to score against the Wild.
Yes.
The Wild are the only team where he has more goals than games played against of any team in the NHL.
I knew he had a ton of goals against the Wild.
He's got 14 goals in 13 games against the Wild.
Yeah.
Nice. So, easily, you know, Islanders might be a close second. Or no, the Blues are a close second, 14 goals in 16 games. So the Wild are definitely his team that he eats
so
up.
He's our new Hossa?
Our Hossa is the old
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, 21 points in those 13 games.
Wow.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Sorry.
Maybe so, somebody should be shadowing him, just saying.
If they can find him.
I guess.
Yeah, cloaking device engaged.
No, if he would have just kept his word, he'd be in Korea right now playing for the team without a country.
The United Russian...
No, it's like the...
United Peoples playing for the Olympics from Russia.
Yeah, or whatever something like that. And we wouldn't have to worry about it.
Right. All right, next question. Sorry for the derailment there.
Next question comes in from Crease and Assist. Hermantown's Neil Pionk.
Hermantown.
Sorry. I should have put the wig behind them.
For our audio listeners, Jive just whipped his hair back, his non-existent hair back.
I got the flow.
Got the lettuce.
Okay. Pionk, but he became the 50th Minnesotan to play in the NHL this season. The most ever from a single state in the U.S. Could, not saying that they should, the Minnesota Wild have an all-Minnesota team and be competitive in the NHL.
We actually kind of covered on this a little earlier with...
But he's saying, could the Minnesota Wild have an all Minnesotan team?
Could they,
and
yes.
be competitive?
No. Probably not. I mean, they would be an all-right team, but it wouldn't be that good, I don't think.
No.
I mean, if we could go around the league right now and scrape up some of the top...
I mean, how comfortable would you feel with Stalock being your number one goalie and someone like Charlie Lindgren being your backup? Because, goalie is going to be a real tough spot if you're looking at for an all-Minnesota team.
Maybe.
There's not a whole lot of goalies from Minnesota out there.
You know, well, we could get Big Buff back.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the rest of the lineup would be pretty solid, you know.
We could probably hook up Beaupre's, you know, too, you know.
Really. Yeah, as the emergency backup.
We'll just put him as a backup.
We just got a lift going back and forth across the net.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
You've been Beaupre. By the way, buy a lift right off of Highway 280.
You just gave him free advertising.
You owe me, Beaupre. You owe me.
When we need that lift to do remodeling at Aaron's house.
Right.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's but, you know, yeah, I think competitive they could be. Championship team? No. But they could be competitive. Like, they could play with the rest of the NHL. I wouldn't say that they couldn't do that.
Well, could they play? Sure, I don't know how consistent they would be. I mean, there's a few guys that, I mean, I think goaltending is going to be the big problem. I think that's going to be the big part.
And you talk about, like, chemistry on a team. I mean, you know, try mixing guys from, 15 different countries together on a team and having them play together.
yeah,
as a team.
But try mixing Edinans and Bloomington kids together.
Okay. And that's what I'm saying. And you even widen that gap more, you know, to different countries. I mean, you got people coming here. We're all talking the same language, eh?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
You betcha.
Yeah.
You bring in the hot dish next week, right?
See, they'd have hot dish. I mean,
lutefisk.
It would be hot.
Dish.
Next
call. Oh, all right. Is North Korea going to change the way we cheer at hockey games? Would this be a good thing or a bad thing for NHL fans to mimic adopt? You think it's innovative or creepy? That question comes in from Crease and Assist. So what he's referring to, and let's see if we can describe this.
So the North Koreans have a couple rows.
Pockets throughout the stadium.
Pockets throughout the Olympic Stadium. It's usually two rows, it seems like.
Yep.
And they have...
About a section wide.
To call them cheerleaders would be an overreach, I think. I mean, that's essentially what they are. But they do these weird singing, synchronized, like...
Clapping and rocking.
Clapping and hand-waving, rocking thing.
What do you think they think when they see us do the wave?
Maybe that's their version of the wave. Yeah, they're just really bored.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's bad enough right now that the Skull chant has made its way into Wild games. I mean, is that just going to be a straight up Minnesotan thing now? Like we're going to see it at Twins games and.
Do we hear it on Tuesday? I didn't hear it.
I don't think I heard it on Tuesday.
I think that's.
I think that was just a playoff.
A Vikings thing, yeah. But as far as the North Koreans. Would it be a good thing or bad thing? You know, I think it's, I mean, it's, even though it's a little creepy and weird, I think it's closer to the way that Europeans, watch soccer, football, whatever you want to call it. And they get it just more into the game. It's more, it feels more authentic than when you have Nordy running around the stadium, hitting a drum and trying to get people to clap along. I mean, even though I know this is not organic, it feels different that way. I don't know. I mean, I'm probably not making any sense here, but.
And yeah, I don't know that. I mean, they're going to rewrite, cheering books or anything like this. I mean, it's kind of a cultural thing too, where you come from.
All right, innovative or creepy?
How you like to cheer things on. I wouldn't call it innovative. I wouldn't call it, I'm not going to call it creepy because I don't want to be judgy like that because, yeah, I'm not from there. That's not my area. You know, maybe the way they view things, that's, you know, just like how I was talking about Minnesotans here, you know. We have our own kind of views of things around here. We might not always see things the same way as other folks do. So.
Way to keep that PC. Yeah. Next question.
I want to talk more about vuvuzelas here, but
that's just annoying.
Yes.
I think it's innovative.
I think it's definitely creepy.
Definitely not creepy.
Especially when you can get an app on your phone that does it, right?
But not nearly as loud.
I'll have to download that again.
Also from Crease and Assist, the Minnesota Wild, in the middle of an important 5-game homestand, their normal Zamboni driver is participating at the Olympics. If Minnesota loses any of its home games, will FSN blame the losses on this fact? There's a good chance they could.
You know who won't? NBC Sports.
Nope.
Because they won't be covering it.
Oh, that's right. We do have a break from NBC Sports right
now. Yeah.
It's been quiet. Nice.
Blessed.
No,
blessed.
No shut up peers.
Yeah. Only if someone trips on the ice and we lose them for a substantial amount of time. I will double down and bet that's what happens. But whether that happens or not, who knows?
All right.
Next question from at TySands42. TySands. Does this Wild team have the character to go on a run for the playoffs like the 2015 team did? I think it's a little different situation, but I think they've got. I don't, I,
I Yeah, I think that at any time, you know, things could just start clicking.
Right.
And you want to know what? We haven't blown our streak yet. Like, that right. super big extended streak. What we've been doing, we've just been, like, playing and maintaining.
Right.
You know, it's got to come in here somewhere where, you know, all of a sudden we're going to start stringing a bunch of them together, whether it's on the road or at home. So.
Well, and I think a big difference is that, you know, this time around, the Wild doesn't appear to have the same sort of locker room issues that they had at that point. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Boudreaux has necessarily united the team, but he doesn't seem to have the same dissension.
He hasn't divided it either.
No, so, no.
Yeah.
So I'm a little more optimistic in that regard. I think it's possible whether or not it happens. I mean, I still think that's a crapshoot.
I mean, and you mentioned that. I mean, with the way Boudreaux has been running things, you're not guaranteed a spot anywhere on the team. If you're not performing, we've seen that. He's moved players down and up, and, you know, he hasn't been afraid to mix that stuff up.
So I've got another question that's somewhat playoffs related from Tom Hain at T Hain88. When the Wild beats the Silver Bishops, I think he's referring to the Golden Showers, the Vegas Golden Showers, I should clarify.
Vegas, yeah.
In the opening round of the playoffs, will the media brush it off because of the regular season accomplishment of an expansion team, or they'll get roasted for being number one seed to get dumped in the first round? So do we think the Wild are going to face the Golden Knights in the first round? Do we think we can beat them? Do we think we will beat them? And then we'll answer Tom's question. Rapid fire here.
I think that we have proven that we can play with that team. Their record definitely puts them, you know, if you outlook, looks like they're going to be on top.
Right.
And if you put our schedule out and look at it, how we're doing, we're probably going to, if we make the playoffs, it's going to be a wild card spot. So we'll probably end up against them. That said, I think that we've played well against the Golden Knights this year. So I think it would prove well.
Again, it's going to depend on where everything lands, because right now there's only a point difference between Nashville and Vegas on who's going to be the number one seed. So that can go either way. Will we play them? Yeah, you know what? It'd be kind of nice to play them first round and actually take them out, because that would mean we'd have to win at least one game in Vegas, too.
Well, and I think to Tom's point is, you know, I think if the Wild were to beat them in the first round, you know, people are going to say, well, that's actually pretty impressive that they made it to the playoffs in their first year of existence anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, good for them. I don't think anyone's going to get them too roasted there. So
no.
All right, next question comes in from who's this guy? At MN Frosty Boy. They give these ones to me on purpose. Which Minnesota Wild player would each of you give a Valentine to, and why? Isn't that sweet?
I got mine.
Okay, go for it.
Jared Spurgeon.
Okay.
Because that way he could always open my water bottle for me and hand it back.
For those not in the know, that is a reference to the Kinetico commercial, I think.
Is it Kinetico? No.
Or Temp Source or Tempstar.
Tempstar,
Tempstar, that's what it was.
More advertising. Hey, you guys are
Tempstar, you owe us. And I'm not screwing around.
His wife hands him a water bottle. He opens it and hands it right back to her.
He's a strong man.
Yeah. Apparently.
You never opened a bottle for a lady?
Yes, but I'm hoping he would do it for me.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, I'd probably give mine to Mr. Derek Suter. Ryan Suter and Derek Suter. Ryan Suter. And because I was thinking too much about Quick Trip here, because I want him to take me on a date to Quick Trip.
Ah, get all your grocery shopping done?
Get all my grocery shopping done. Have a candlelit dinner next to the hot dog roller thing.
With some chocolate milk.
Why not?
Sounds wonderful. I'd probably give my Valentine to the guy who might be feeling a little under the weather right now. One Mr. Brodeen.
Ah.
And then take him by the hand.
Oh, oops. Make sure it's the correct hand.
Yes.
What, a little Dutch rudder action here?
We're not even going to explain that one on this show. That's for a different time.
Yeah.
Urban Dictionary.
This needs to be a family-friendly show. Next question. All right.
So we got a whole bunch of stuff about the trade deadline, so we're going to try to blow through these pretty quick. First three are all kind of the same. We'll go one right after the other. First one's Jay Bushy, 19. With the Wild being up against cap and having too many no-move contracts, I feel the Wild will be quiet around the trade deadline. Thoughts? So we'll go into T. Haynes' question, TN88. Considering the Minnesota Wild has about $127.58 in cap space, what, if anything, can GMCF do before the deadline?
$2 chuck. You gotta substitute that in there.
One buck chuck.
And then Mr. Derek Felska, Crease and Assist, asks, what are the chances, given a percentage, that the Minnesota Wild make a deadline deal? And in the long term, is that something this organization should consider, or has it already set itself up for long-term struggles?
Okay, so I'll answer first. The Wild are going to be quiet around the deadline, I agree. What can Fletcher do? Not a whole lot, unless he's going to move a Coyle or someone who's got a little bit more of a contract behind them. And is there something this organization should consider for set itself up? Well, if you're going to move someone like Coyle, you better be getting some prospects and some draft picks to bolster that. But that's going to look really bad for the season ticket holders and the fans. So,
especially if they got a chance to make playoffs.
Especially if they got a chance for them to make playoffs. And that only doubles back to my initial answer, was they're not going to be movers. So,
and I agree with that statement. It will be quiet on that front. In quiet meaning there's going to be no big blockbuster trades. There might still be some, jockeying and positioning. Maybe we've got some young prospects that we can move and maybe get some, future draft picks in here and,
No rentals?
No rentals at this point.
No rentals.
I don't think we're at that stage of the game.
I'd agree. Next question from Tom Hain, TN88. Would the Minnesota Wild fans be within their right to lose their minds if GM Chuck Fletcher hands over more draft picks for a rental at the deadline?
Yes, absolutely.
We would have his head.
He'd be one nut Chuck.
Yeah. One nut Chuck. All right. Next question coming in from Ben Meacham. Depending on how the 5-game homestand goes, what percent chance do you give someone like Charlie Coyle getting traded at the deadline? And also, Crease and Assist came in with the question too. Does Coyle's resurgence make him a better candidate to trade? Does that make us hesitate to deal away a hot hand?
No. I think we need to keep Coyle. I think we've seen how he's played in the playoffs in the past, and he goes into beast mode in the playoffs. I mean, with the first year, he was playing with two separated shoulders and still actually playing better than some of the other guys on the ice.
Right.
You're not going to get that type of commitment from... I mean, you'll get it from a lot of the players, but not the level that he's at.
I agree. The Coyle's not somebody that you want to push away like that. I mean, we've seen it in the playoffs. Even this season, yes, he's had his struggles, but, still, do you see him out there? It's not like you are watching him out there and it seems like he's just doing a Suter-like glide. I mean,
no,
he's still churning and chugging. Maybe sometimes the puck just isn't dropping for him. But
I think the hardest thing with Coyle is that given his size and his frame, you wish he could use his physical assets a little bit more regularly.
That is the one thing that I wish we would see from him.
However, the one thing that he has really gotten great at is controlling the puck and keeping people away from the puck when he has it.
Yes.
I mean, there's been times where you see him skating around the perimeter and someone's trying to get at that puck and he's just manhandling them away from the puck. And it's pretty impressive to watch. And to couple that with some scoring, as he's been doing lately, that's not a bad thing. But I'm gonna stick with my original answer that if you move Coyle, it's a signal to the fan base that you are done for the season, and I can't imagine that's gonna be good.
We're not waving any white flags yet.
No.
All right. Is this me?
Yep.
All right. From Crease and Assist, rumor has it the Pittsburgh Penguins are hoping to bring back Matt Cullen for a playoff run. If you're the Minnesota Wild, do you make the trade? If so, what do you ask for in return? An autographed Crosby sweater for Kenny, perhaps. Funny. That one was set up.
Funny. No, this one wasn't. It was actually just straight
that
order.
That actually sounds like a perfect trade,
though. But the funny thing is, the first time I read this, is I read it as an autographed Cosby sweater.
A pudding pops.
I was like, yeah, Kenny likes pudding pops.
When have you ever seen me eat a pudding pop?
I don't know.
I think we need to try to get some
fudge pops.
Yeah,
those are good though, man.
Pudding.
That just creeps me out when you do that. I think we need to try to get some draft picks for him, if anything, or
be draft pick related. I mean, we're not gonna look for anything that's gonna, add on to our cap or anything at this point.
So. No, and you're not going to find any type of rental for that price either.
No.
If they're willing to pay for Cullen, I'd say it was nice knowing you.
There was somebody that was free, another center that you could maybe try picking up in like a three-way deal. I don't remember who it was now. But other than that, yeah, I mean, if you could maybe manage to pull something like that where you can get another quality center for about the same price.
Yeah.
But at that point, you're shuffling.
Right.
Without.
I think we have enough talent that we can try to shuffle up to play fourth line, as we come down the stretch here, that, we wouldn't miss, a position.
No.
Having him gone.
I think the bigger thing is that I have to imagine the Wild are smart and cognizant of this, but trading him is going to be a PR nightmare, especially do it mid-season.
Yeah.
It's easier to let him go and just retire and right after the sunset.
Yeah.
Right.
I did see somewhere that the only team he would consider going to is back to Pittsburgh.
Right.
But
all right, next question comes in. Oh.
Next one from Tom Hayne, 88.
Yeah.
with rumors out there about Dumba being on the block, how dumb would this be considering we gave up Tuck and Hallett in order to protect him?
Very. I think it's not quite a Coyle situation, but I think it's going to be something similar because who are they going to get for, a veteran D like that? Even though he's got his downfalls at times, I mean, when he's playing good, he's scoring.
Right.
Where are we going to find another D to replace him like that?
Yeah, I hate the talk of, moving Dumba. I'm probably, too big of a fanboy of him, but I really like his game. And I think that, he's a unique defenseman in that, how he plays the game is different than, all your other standard defensemen who do the exact same thing every time. And yes, sometimes you might end up getting burned. I think that as he goes on and keeps playing the game, he's going to be learning more. Giving something like that away, you don't want to do that.
We've
spent way too much time building that up, basically.
I still see him like a younger version of Burns where it's just going to take a minute and all of a sudden he's going to be that breakout offensive defenseman, and we already lost one Burns. I don't
Right.
I would actually be willing to gamble to keep Dumba around because I do see that potential in him at some point.
Even if it burns.
The ring of Dumba?
Jive Roki this week.
Jive Roki this week.
As far as what I was thinking is, I think both the Dumba and Coyle does make sense to trade in the middle of the season. If we're winning, and we are winning, or we're at least competitive, unless the Wild totally implode over the next couple of weeks here, I just don't see this happening. I think if Dumba or Coyle gets moved, it's done during the off season, so we can prepare a proper package that's going to be loaded with some prospects and some stuff that we can go to refill our cupboards. So,
and then we're going to be looking at another couple of years to rebuild.
It kicks the can down a little bit to further down Parisian Suter's contracts.
Next question handed out to me from these folks, fine folks here at Three in the Box, is from at Minnesota Frosty Boy. Who do you think the biggest name to be traded league wide will be?
Did you hear all those owls earlier tonight too? You keep repeating who?
Who?
The owls were really loud outside.
They were.
And see, I'm on that now. After he was talking about Cosby. See,
oh
yeah, he'd be like, "Who?" You know, that was never mind.
So great, Jai's doing Cosby impressions now. I love it. Can he say pudding?
I got to bring in a sweater for you next week. Dude, that's I'm totally going to go find like a Goodwill ugly sweater, but Cosby style.
Puddin'.
So what's going to be the biggest name then traded league-wide? You know, and will the Minnesota Wild be bidding at all?
As far as the biggest name, they can't afford any of the biggest names that are going to be on the block or potentially looking to move. Right now, the two biggest ones with the two biggest contracts are going to be Evander Kane and Rick Nash. And to be quite honest, I don't think they're going to be moving to any team that's going to be in playoff contention just because of their price tag.
Well, and since the Rangers are wheelers and dealers, another big one that could be out there is a former Minnesotan as well. Ryan McDonough could be out there too, Mr. Captain for the Rangers. He could be out there. Mike Green's another defenseman that could be out there on that list.
When you said Wheeler, I was thinking you were talking
Blake Wheeler.
Okay. Yeah. So, I think there's plenty of players out there. I don't think the Wild are going to be
Vanek's
players.
Available again.
Vanek is available, yeah. If you want that, I guess.
All right. And then, last question, dealing with the trade deadline. Which of the three is GMCF's best moves?
One buck chuck.
That's from T. Hain 88, Mr. Tom Hain. Dubnyk, Nino, or Stahl?
Dubnyk.
Yeah, I would have to say Dubnyk. Stahl has definitely been steady.
Yeah.
And definitely a producer. But I think that, you know, having solid goaltending is, I mean,
remember where we were before that.
Right. Is having solid goaltending for a team makes everything else up front meaningful.
Yeah. Stahl's contract is done this year, right?
He's got one more.
Does he have one more?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's the end of the trade deadline lightning round.
That was pretty lightning, too.
Yeah. So I've got a...
moving about as quick as Jive getting here on time.
Yeah.
Hey. I drive like a grandpa.
Times two now.
So got a few more questions. These are some high school hockey related ones. First from Tom Hain at TAN88. I was surprised by high school hockey fans if Benilde St. Margaret wins Section 6AA. And a follow-up from Minnesota Frosty Boy. How surprised will you be when White Bear Lake takes Section 4AA.
All I gotta say is I can't like on Benilde St. Margaret at all.
Yeah.
And for me, it's personal because it goes back to my younger days and and a cheap shot. I'll just leave it at that.
Would you like to elaborate?
No, they didn't send me like head first into the boards or anything like that. But it was the neon knee type stuff.
It ended your hockey career?
No, it didn't end it.
Okay.
I was young and flexible at that time. Still hurt like, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, White Bear all the way.
I guess I'm obligated to go with White Bear considering where I'm at right now. So,
yeah.
They're my neighbors now.
That's just across the lake.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to do the same because.
Not White Bear.
They were. No. Pinild was also rivals with my high school.
Yes, they were.
So, even though we didn't have a hockey team then.
Oh. Does this mean that I have to side with Frosty Boy?
Yep.
Wow.
All right, next one.
He started it. That's all I.
He started it. You're getting into a feud. Oh, never mind. I'm not even going to go there. From.
Okay. Good.
From Teresa Ferris at MN Soda 24. So, three in the box. Just got my ancestral results back. Turns out I have some random Finnish DNA that I did not expect, as well as the other Scandinavian stuff that I did expect. With that in mind, why is it that I still can't stand black licorice?
Pericola.
Yeah.
Black licorice is good. Maybe you've got a mental illness, or maybe you had a taste budectomy.
You got the wrong Finnish DNA.
Is there such a thing?
It's the Stardish.
The Stardish.
The Stardish. Oh.
Yeah, that was a bad one. That failed even.
That was a non-starter.
Yeah, we don't know.
All right.
Your grandparents didn't give you enough black licorice as a kid?
Man, maybe that's the problem. All right. Last question.
Last question. It's highlighted in maroon. But yet it still says Jive. Okay.
Colorblind?
This comes in from... No?
Okay, let's move it along here. Move it along.
Frosty Boy. I guess if it has that name on it, it should just be my name, basically.
Conditional formatting.
Ooh, I like it.
Oh. And appropriately, on the day of my homeland's 178th birthday, here's a guide for Jive Midnight's future reference. I request a full reading next pod. And you want to know what? I didn't. I didn't study it. Okay, mate? And I probably said it wrong here. So what am I supposed to know?
So you're going to...
How to speak New Zealander, right?
Yes. Yes. New Zoolander.
Zoolander?
For this effect, read these out loud. Out loud.
No. So is it Zedlander? Because the Z is a Z over there, right? Is that correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not going to go through all of these.
Pick a couple.
Pick a couple. The Amegian.
The what?
The Amegian.
Amegian?
Amegian?
Yeah, what is that? That's what I'm wondering. Amegian.
Amegian.
Visualize.
Oh, it's like imagine.
Oh, imagine. Yes. Okay, see?
I like the Virjan.
Yeah.
Mythical like, New Zealand maiden.
I got a lot of cuds.
Cuds? Cuds?
Yes, children.
Cads.
Cads. That's how you see. Like even some... even how it's written, I can't read this stuff. You know? I've got some pits.
Some
domestic animals.
Oh, some pits.
Yeah.
You got a beard? A place to sleep? Hey.
If your dad doesn't have a beard,
He's got two moms.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, if you want a good laugh, go search for if Your Dad Doesn't Have a Beard. Yeah. It's a great song. But I think that's Australian, I think.
But probably. We're butchering this New Zealander talk.
Yeah, it's just pretty bad. Yeah. And this is a group effort at failure right now.
I'm sorry, Cuds.
Time to go to Beard?
Time to go to Beard.
On that note, there you have it. There's Twitter talk.
Don't pronounce the R.
It's the R is silent in Beard.
Bed.
Beard.
Bed.
Bid.
Bid. Bed. Got it.
All right, that's Twitter talk.
He'll teach us once.
It's a Twitter talk and New Zealand pronunciation tutorial.
If they wanted, I was going to say Rosa Parks, but Rosa Parks is not wrong. What's the language? Rosetta Stone. What does that mean, Rosa Parks? I don't know.
Rosa Parks, Rosetta Stone.
Yeah.
Roswell, New Mexico.
See,
I mean,
it's not just the New Zealand pronunciation that gets me mixed up. I just, yeah.
Don't worry, folks. Jive will be teaching a Udemy class on this later on.
Right.
How to speak New Zealander. And we'll give Chris Frost a coupon code on that one.
Maybe he should come in and teach us.
And then let Jive teach it, you know, so it's like a community outreach type thing.
Yes.
Anyway, Kenny, where can people find what you're up to?
At NostraKenius on Twitter and on Instagram.
And Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I am at Jive Midnight on Twitter.
As for myself, you can find myself on Twitter at Angry Finn. And thanks everyone for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3 in the Box. If you got questions, send us those tweets. Hashtag 3ITB. We will read them.
In American dialect.
Usually in American dialect. Maybe.
Maybe Canadian.
Maybe Canadian. Maybe a little Creole in there just to throw things up. You can listen to our podcast at our website. threeinthebox.com or through your favorite podcast player. That's it for this week's episode. Thanks, everyone. See ya.